We make our beginning in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we celebrate the festival of the Reformation, O Lord, we praise you for the three great discoveries of the Reformation, on which our doctrines have been based: grace alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone.
Praise and thanksgiving be to you, O God, for the three great alones. You reveal and seal yourself to us as our merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Herein is grace announced so clearly by the holy writer St. Paul. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. We confess to you, O Lord, that we so often forget that we are saved by grace alone. Our pride rebels against salvation as a gift. Our intellect draws back from Christ as the focus and reason for your grace. Our sins make us attempt to excuse and justify ourselves.
Help us to listen anew to the words of grace, that God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Herein is faith alone. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:8. We confess to you, O Lord, that we too often substitute good works for your goodness and right conduct, for your righteousness. We forget that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we cannot rise above our sins unless you come to lift us up by the cross.
Help us to listen anew to the words that set aside our works, our sins, our guilt. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Herein is the precious task of Scripture that makes of it God's holy, precious word of life to us. Sacred Scriptures are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. We confess to you, O Lord, that we too often are led by the wisdom of this world instead of by your word. We read your word too little. We deny the power of the Scripture by not using it and living it.
Help us to listen with ears wide open. Help us to read with eyes wide open. Help us to meditate with hearts wide open to your word, which is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Holy God, for grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, we thank you. Enable us by your Spirit to live by your grace, cling to you by faith, and walk by your precious word. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we sing hymn number 341.
Thank you.
prayed and read responsibly from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams came back to the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
God is with her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day.
Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth.
He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We hear the scripture lessons for this Reformation Day. The first Old Testament reading is from the 31st chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. The day, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading selected for this day is from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is the word of the Lord. And now I invite you to stand for the gospel. Taken from the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 31, we read in the name of our Savior and Lord. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord. And now we confess together our confession of faith. This is an excerpt from the Augsburg Confession, Article 3 and 4. So together we say, It is taught among us that God the Son became man, born of the Virgin Mary, and that the two natures, divine and human, are so inseparably united in one person, that there is one Christ, true God and true man, who was truly born, suffered, was crucified, died, and was buried, in order to be sacrificed, not only for original sin, but also for all our sins, and to propitiate God's wrath. The same Christ also descended into hell, truly rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of God, that he may eternally rule and have dominion over all creatures, that through the Holy Spirit he may bestow on them life and every grace and blessing, and that he may protect and defend them against the devil and against sin. The same Lord Jesus Christ will return openly to judge the living and the dead. It is also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sins and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith, when we believe that Christ suffered for us, and that for his sake our sin is forgiven, and righteousness and eternal life are given to us. So far, the confession according to Augsburg Confession. Now the next hymn, the sermon hymn, is Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. And I want you to know that I recommended that we sing every verse. So don't blame the organist or the secretary. You can blame me if that's what you want to do. But let's sing that great Lutheran hymn. You may be seated. peace be unto all of you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking of doing a children's sermon or message, but I don't see any children out there today. But I think we'll do it anyway on this Reformation Day. I brought a hammer with me. It's not my regular hammer, it's a lighter hammer. And I brought three nails. Now, the sound of the hammer was heard on that first Reformation night when Martin Luther went to the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he nailed the 95 theses on the church door. And those theses were statements complaining about the abuses of the Roman Church and the papal authority. And so he laid it out there, and some of them had to do with indulgences and praying to saints and so forth. And that was the sound that got everybody's attention. And the world heard it, not just Germany, but the whole world. And so we are heirs of that Reformation over 500 years ago. But you know, by the sound of the hammer, Martin Luther wasn't just drawing attention to himself and what he had written in those 95 theses, but he was drawing attention to Christ. You remember, Christ was nailed to the cross with a hammer and nails. I like what I saw on Facebook where it said duct tape can patch together a lot of things, but three nails took care of everything. Yep. Right? Yep. So, Martin Luther didn't want to draw attention to himself by nailing those theses to the door, but he wanted to point to Christ, and Christ alone, who took upon the cross our sin. He took the nails in each of his hands and a nail into his feet. People might argue whether there were three or four nails, but it's three nails for the sake of my illustration. And so, yes, the sound of the hammer. Because Martin Luther knew that Jesus is the ultimate judge. He's been given the authority to judge the living and the dead, as we confess in the creed. And you know how a judge will make the sound of the hammer when he wants order in his court. And so it points us to the last day as well, when everyone will give an account to the Lord, whether we had faith or whether we didn't, whether we stood and took our stand in Christ, or whether we took our stand in and of ourselves. So Martin Luther, with the hammer, got the attention of the whole world. And we call ourselves Lutheran after Martin Luther, but he didn't want people to call themselves Lutheran. But that's how it turned out. Right? Okay. So that was my children's sermon, I guess, but I'm going to continue here with the Reformation sermon. Dear friends in Christ, I want to tell you about a man who was in his 80s when he was able to fulfill his bucket list. He was a man and his wife who came to our church in Wisconsin later in life. They kind of avoided church for most of their life, and then when he retired, they went looking for a church. And so they ended up at my church. And they were very helpful volunteers and very involved in church. And it was wonderful to see that. But one of the bucket lists, the thing on his bucket list, was to go to Oktoberfest in Germany, Munich, Germany, which is really in September, I think. Maybe goes into October. But his wife didn't want to go with him. So he went by himself, and when he got back, it was interesting to hear about of the humongous tents and all the music and everything, but he was able to fulfill his bucket list. And, you know, he was the kind of guy that, you know, toward the end of the week, I would stop over at his house, and we would have a beer or two together and talk about the Bible and talk about our faith and talk about our families. And so that was the way that I interacted with him outside of the church, too. But I want to propose to you that Reformation is kind of like the church's Oktoberfest. You know, Martin Luther, he drank some beer. His wife, Katie, brewed some beer. He loved music. You know, we sang a couple of his hymns tonight. And, you know, he adapted a lot of music from the Middle Ages to be more singable and, you know, more substantive. And the fact that we sing together as Lutherans in the worship service is really the work of Martin Luther, where it used to be just the priest that would do that, but now we all come together and we sing. So Martin Luther was able to bring Christ into the center. You know, not in the periphery, but in the center of history, in the center of the church, in the center of the message. And that's what he wanted to restore. And that's what he did restore. Just like in the spirit of the Apostle Paul when he said, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, there's a lot of rabbit trails that we can get off on, right, with religion. But Paul knew that the central thing, Martin Luther knew that the central thing was Christ. Christ alone. One of those alone phrases, right? And scripture alone, and grace alone, and faith alone. So, put Christ back in the center where he belongs. Yes, he was in the center of Golgotha with criminals crucified on either side of him, right? One believed and accepted his gift of salvation, which we celebrate. But you know, as a result of the Reformation, not only Germany, but the whole world was able to celebrate. Celebrate God's grace. And faith in God's grace. And the meaning and power of Holy Scripture. So, you know, Martin Luther... Well, I was looking at an article by a professor, and he was looking at ways in which preachers might communicate a sermon. And he said, wait, maybe we should just ask a question and then give some answers that maybe aren't the right answers, and then give the correct answer so that people might understand better. So if I ask the question, what does it mean to be saved? Or how am I saved? What would be some of the answers that might be given? Now, I don't know how many people dwell on that question. Many people today might not be that intentional about that question. They may have an idea that they're going to die someday, but they're a little vague about what happens after that. And so, yeah, that's a question that was asked by the jailer in Philippi. Remember that? When he was afraid, when the earthquake came and the jail doors opened and he thought that he'd lose his prisoners and that he'd be surely killed by the authorities. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And he and his whole household were baptized and brought to faith. There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. You maybe heard about that not too long ago in the readings. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he didn't really like the answer that Jesus gave, so he went away sad. But at least he asked that question, right? Now, Luther really struggled with that question. You know, on a personal level, it was a crisis for him, a real crisis. Because, you know, he thought if he made the sacrifices, if he went to study for the priesthood, if he, like, gave his life to the church, he thought that that would help him in the matter of salvation. But he was really frustrated when he realized, well, how do I know that I've done enough? How do I know that it's enough? And so that really plagued him. And so, you know, we might think, well, if we do more good things than bad things in our life, well, we probably all admit that none of us are perfect, but if we do more good things than bad things, the good will somehow outweigh the bad. Like if you put it on a scale, right? More good than bad, well, then surely I would be accepted by God and I would be saved. Well, that's not really how it works. Not according to the scriptures. If we're following scripture alone, because you just heard me read from Romans that no flesh, no person will be justified on the basis of the law. Okay? Or on the basis of their works. But a man is justified, a person is justified by faith. You know, another thing that Luther tried to do was, you know, he would treat his body harshly. He would lay on a cold slab at night. He would, like, punish himself, thinking that that would get God's attention and maybe God would be merciful to him because of that. Well, that didn't solve the issue either, did it? He couldn't be certain about that because, once again, he asked the question, how do I know that that's good enough? You see, the Old Testament had clearly laid it out as well when it said the just will live by their faith. The prophet said that. The just will live by their faith. And so we are justified by faith. Trust in the Savior. We're not in the center of it. Christ is in the center of it. And it's all about Him. It is all about Him. You know, we might think about what it means to be saved. We might think, well, on The Voice, if one of the singers doesn't make it, there's a possibility he could be saved by one of the judges, right? Or we're used to saving a document on our computer. Maybe that's how people understand what it means to be saved, but it's bigger than that, isn't it? We're talking eternity. We're talking a righteous and perfect God who knows everything about us, right? And so, as Luther said in his 95 Theses, repentance is a daily thing. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's something that we daily do. In accordance with our baptism, that we daily are submerged, right, and die to sin, but then we rise to that newness of life. So a daily dying and rising, that's really the idea of repentance and faith. So, scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, it is God's gift. That's what grace is. God's gift to you. And faith is like the empty hand. You know, we don't have anything in our hands. But we come and receive the gift that God is giving us. You know, sometimes people are too proud to receive a gift. Or people might think they don't deserve to receive a gift. And we really don't in God's eyes. But He gives it to us because of His mercy. That's the great thing about God, that He is merciful and kind, and He is gracious. So, receiving the gift of God, that's the most wonderful thing that we can do is to receive that gift. The gift of faith, but also the gift of eternal life. So that when our lives are all said and done, that we have that place with God and with all the people of God. And that's forever. What a wonderful thing that we have been given in the Reformation. Not that Luther wanted to draw attention to himself. Not that he wanted to be the church to be named after him. But to be founded on grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone. And we can also add one, to God alone be the glory. Right? So, the church's Oktoberfest, the biggest celebration and the best celebration that we could hope for. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as an ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
And now you can come forward for distribution. Welcome to the Lord's table.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
The blood of Christ, the Lamb of God,
who
takes away the sin of the world.
The
blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins.
For the remission of your sins.
The blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Receive the blood of Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins. The blood of Christ shed for you, for forgiveness and life. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Jesus shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The blood of Jesus shed for you. And now may the true body and blood of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may this sustain you until the end. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. the Lord's table. Please rise as we join in prayer. Almighty God, we humbly come before you as people who struggle to become personally involved with the reformation of the church, people who often lead unconcerned, indifferent lives. Please help us.
Hear us, precious Lord. For your Son's sake, we are failing you.
Enable us by your Holy Spirit to become so enthusiastic about the spreading of your gospel that we simply cannot be content to keep it to ourselves.
Accept our plea, good Lord, for your Son's sake. We need renewed strength and courage from you to lift high the cross.
We want to submit completely to you, dear Lord. Change our lives and show us the unlimited love in your way of life.
We dedicate ourselves to do you with joy, O Lord.
Use us in every waking hour as living testimonies of the promise of Christian happiness to be found in you alone. Help us to think, dream, work, and play for you.
Our lives are yours. Make us ready to do beside you. Amen.
And, O Lord, we come before you on behalf of our sister, Deanna, whose cancer has returned. We ask, O Lord, that you would give her the needed strength to bear this difficulty and that she would be surrounded by your caring people and that she would be uplifted by our prayers and that you would assure her of your presence along this journey. And so give her the strength and also the healing that she will need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things we bring to your throne of grace, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us all to pray, our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us remain standing for Lift High the Cross.